Welcome to the Mindful Surf Podcast. Myself, Will Foster, and my co-host, Liam, the shredding the other day, Morgan. Yeah. Liam, the shredding the other day, Morgan, ready for the WSL, Morgan.
I haven't had the call yet.
Top 10.
The agent's having a chat with them.
Is your agent on it? Are they?
The thing is, though, would I want to surf on the WSL? I'm a free surfer.
Oh.
You know, I'm in with Rastovich and Machado.
You want to go on like boat trips and stuff?
Give me a Need Essentials contract,
yeah.
A free yacht, and I'll sail around the world.
But you've also got to be doing something that seems to be like, you know, good for the planet too. If you're going to be a free surfer, you can't just be a free surfer and then just buy like plastic and stuff. Oh. You've got to be like
offset your air miles.
You've got to offset the insane amount of air miles. Like giraffes while you sort of pet baby rhinos and look after people and I don't know.
Yeah, please don't include the shot of me flying first class to this location
I'd love to get on my hemp-made yacht. Exactly. I'd really like to see Kelly Slater put a bit of a middle finger up to the woke community about his air miles whilst laying in first class, sipping a glass of champagne out of a little plastic tumbler and just almost have a bit of fun with it. Obviously, let's try and take care of the planet. But at the same time, whilst Liam's going to be a free surfer traveling around the world, let's remember that, you know, flying is available to us. Let's make the most of it for now. Not that I even want to go flying. That my flying that I did the other day for my surf trip to Canaries nailed me coming back. We talked about this, didn't we?
Well, I haven't flown for years.
Yeah.
The last time I went to Europe, I got the train. How about that for green credentials?
Where was that?
I went to Amsterdam and The Hague, and I got myself on the Eurostar. Unbelievable, the trains may or may not be available. And I went from that big city of London from St. Pancras. I don't know if they still do this. There's a direct. We're not getting sponsored by the Eurostar, by the way, but it was an excellent way to travel, I must say.
Yeah.
Talking about like a plane travel being a pain in the backside. To get on a train from one city centre direct into the centre of another town in a different country across Europe was wicked.
So nice.
So much more relaxed than
like
a bun fight getting on Ryanair.
And as surfers...
Being dropped 300 miles from the location you need to be.
Don't Ryanair. It's one of those ones where you weigh everything up as a surfer in terms of things you want to spend your money on. Will it yield? Here's the big question, philosophically. Will this yield me happiness? Last thing, you know, is this good? Versus it not, obviously. Versus what is not? Well, you know, tiredness, soreness, little bit of strain back home with families and work, I don't, whatever, you know, mounting emails, I don't know, whatever it might be. Because on the one side, you have the part of you that goes, oh, no, I like my surfing lifestyle. I get to go in when I get in, keep status quo. As is, yada, yada, yada. Then on the other side of you have someone like Joel Parkinson ringing in the background saying, mate, the only way to get better at surfing...
Not content with upsetting Machado and Biolos.
Do you reckon,
Parco
do you,
is
do you reckon
now...
Parco is part of our impressions? Mate, the only way to get better at surfing is to ride better waves.
Is that what Parco sounds like these days?
Oh, no, he's more like this, mate.
Yeah, he's a bit more grunty.
right, that's another person.
That's another one. Should we keep that to add to the list?
Well, you know when we finally get the invite to Kelly's ranch, the surf ranch?
Yeah.
He's going to have there'll be a crew of them waiting for us.
Yeah.
And we're dead. We're going to get a shit kicked out.
Or they'll hand us a microphone each. Go. Do the list. We've got Machado in the audience.
Let's say you're being funny now, mate.
Yeah, exactly. And then have a massive Fight Club fight at the end. To the death.
No, we'd all make it'd be great. It'd be great. Have a VB. Chill out.
I don't fancy my chances against Mick Fanning. Parker, I think I'd have.
Well, yeah. Fanning.
Machado,
no one's taking Fanning.
Machado, you're dead.
Fanning.
He's the kind of bloke who's the 1-inch punch guy.
Fanning's fought a shark and won. Let's not forget that.
That's true. Although he did look a bit scared.
Yeah, anybody's frightened.
I would have just...
Flying a shark.
I would have just calm, punched it straight in the eye, and stayed. And look, this is my spot. You fuck off.
Locals only.
Can you imagine being in that situation? Going right back, do we surf better waves or do we stick with the status quo? Because let's be honest, when we live in England or anywhere that you live in the world, you've got this idea that, you know, is it just better waves or is it even just the novelty of different waves? Warmer waters, even colder waters maybe, whatever. Is there a happiness to be had from surf jets? Of course there is. It's massive. But it can go the other way. It's a tough one to balance out that as a surfer. We all, as surfers, we naturally are dreamers in many ways. There's not many surfers I meet who are real, like proper, just hard, redundant realists where, surfing, yeah, it's just something I do. And it just, it lights you up. It fucking lights up your soul is what it does. Your body, your mind, everything. Because of that, subsequently, you dream of those days. Could you be with a mate or two and a few others, or maybe just uncrowded or whatever? And it's just this idea of you're in boardies and there's that perfect wave in front of you. You've stood to your feet. You've got your feet in the right position. You've managed to nail the takeoff with your back foot on the pad, at the back of the pad, under the thruster fin, lay in that rail, stall for the barrel, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, spat out the barrel, big carve at the end. All your mates are hands in the air, whooping and walloping. Those memories are special. That's real special. The work that you've got to put in, though,
true,
around finance, around family, around life, around lifestyle, around body, the strain on your mind and body, the toll that travel takes upon you, it can outweigh the buzz of that trip. People go, oh, that's you. Yeah, you're being a realist. Well, in a way, it's optimism, isn't it? It's because it's kind of, how do you actually want to feel? But I know when I was younger, I used to put a lot more mental weight in that category of, oh, I'm not doing trips, so I'm not as happy. I really want to get away. That's why I'm not happy. Yeah. Bullshit.
Well,
that's just not the case.
You know, talking about dreamers, having imagination. It doesn't, because there's a lot in mindfulness about, and rightly about, be here now. There is only ever this moment in time. And, indeed, wherever you go, there you are, sort of thing as well. So the idea is that you become very comfortable and actually always in that moment of the here and now, because it disconnects you from past and it unburdens you from the worry about the future. However, I think dreaming and imagination is a different part of that process, because it's almost channels into this kind of portal of like manifestation and writing your own future and wishing and setting intention for the best outcomes. And if that is, you know, crystal clear water and great mates on a great surf trip with blue skies and great waves, that is really, in essence, a kind of a way of manifesting great things. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're actually unhappy in the here and now. It just means that you have a idea of how to further enrich your experience of this life, right? And so it doesn't feed into this, when we've talked about like comparison stealing the joy of being in, let's say, 2 foot wind slop, and you think, well, it's not, you know, the Maldives in beautiful weather. But what it does do is say, I'm happy where I am, but I can have an ambition. I can have an idea that I want to go to this destination. And then you enjoy every step along the way. What you don't do is, and this is where it leaches into this kind of idea that's which is unhealthy, is you don't think, I'll be happier there, or I'll only be happy if I get to that place. Because that just definitely steals it. But having, like, being a dreamer is essential in some ways, because why not? Why be, you know, be a dreamer rather than a sort of nightmarer, if you like, of having this 100%. Oh my God, what if this happened?
In the truly conscious mind, there's an appreciation that desire in itself is a good feeling.
Yeah.
But that to accumulate what it is that you have desired is not the feeling. Mm. The anticipation of things, the pre-Christmas build-up,
yeah,
is just as much, if not more fun, than Christmas itself.
Yeah.
So yes, you'll finally be on that wave. Okay, great. But the reason, and I've discussed this at great length, and it's what I used to talk about in talks at businesses and seminars and so on, when I was teaching a lot more about the kind of thing I wrote about in my book, which is about appreciation for the moment. Whilst also having ambition. And the reason to why is to have that ambition, like you just said, Liam, is it's part of just feeling good. It lights you up. To dream is to be in that creative state. And that creative state is an inspired state. And why not just feel that in your day randomly on a Tuesday morning after your coffee anyway?
And the creative state...
It's just going to be a nicer start to your day than not dreaming. It's just catching yourself is the key. So we're all part of this as humans, that we catch ourselves in our lower moments, our more tired moments, where we start to go, ooh,
yeah,
that could be better.
Yeah.
And that, well, is two things. One, it'll make it less likely to manifest, of course. And also two, it's not the truth. There's so much good stuff around you.
That's
no
right.
matter where you're living. Because also one of the biggest challenges of surfers, as we know, is just the travel of surf. And if you're listening to this now, I can bet your bottom dollar you're probably either A, traveling to waves, or B, thinking about how you're traveling to waves soon. If there's one thing, because even if you live in a town that's near some surf, it's going to be a 15-minute job. We as surfers, unless you literally live at a perfect wave, literally, and you walk in like that, we all have the anticipatory aspect of surf. And let's never, ever get rid of that. When I used to travel down from London, the joy in that van with my buddies was so special. And I dare say I almost miss it today. Being a local surfer in a local town, obviously I'm grateful. It's amazing. I get to surf all the time. Yeah. And that's really, really nice. I also have lovely, amazing memories of the crazy build-up I used to get in London throughout the week that would be met by someone else who had the same level of ambition in them to travel, with this zest for surf, no matter what the fucking conditions were, the joy that. And this is what's really interesting when you then meet people who do travel for surf, that it's, again, it's a bit like the beginner, the whitewater bandit.
Yeah.
Sometimes those traveling surfers and those whitewater bandits are far happier than the grumpy local who gets to go in all the time.
Because it is said for thousands of years, isn't it? The journey, appreciate the journey. And that plays exactly to that. The destination is all well and good. And that's why we're saying have ambition. We are all about, like, how do you improve at things, right? Doesn't mean you're miserable in the today, that you want to get better for tomorrow. But the steps you take often, especially when it requires effort, because you know what it's like on the other side, that's the enjoyable bit. Most people who aren't tuned into that are so worried about the destination that they miss the joy of the journey. And it's such a cliche, isn't it? And it's a real cliche in this world of surfing, but it's true. Sometimes the actual getting to the bit that you want to get to, you want to lean into that more, because that's the only bit you're on, by the way, as well. Destination is there. Yeah, let's go for it. But enjoy every step you put in front of you. And no, I fall out of that mode all the time, thinking about what if I get to. But to remind yourself that actually just enjoy the ride, because that's where it's at.
That's where it's at, because it's the moment. The only moment we have is now. On that front, we were in the moment, because we're always in the moment. But we were particularly alert to the moment the other day, a bit more. That's what surfing does. That's why it's special, because we had a great surf.
Special sesh.
I've got to break this down piece by piece, because I came away from those 2 days of yin and yang, black and white, to discuss, because everything we do in this show is really around what I feel like unfolded. On the Sunday, I went in and got absolutely smashed. It was just very large at the back, really messy in the middle, utter chaos. The order, there was none.
Miserable.
And you
day.
Try and create a bit of order with your boards and your attitude and your approach and your fitness, and you try and find a way of getting some order. And I battled because for some a part of me was being a little bit nourished by the suffering. The paddle was so bad, it was at my 9.5, my 10 in terms of lung and arm intensity, getting nothing. 40 minutes at one point with just paddling.
Yes.
Without a wave.
Yeah.
I kept. And the biggest reason why was I wanted to prove to myself I could get this board on rail and I could do a good turn. It was a smaller board. It's my new one. My new one. So there's been a fair few.
There's been a few. It's hard
been
to keep
a,
up.
It's been a bit of a spree. But the thing with it is that it was ego. I know I can surf. Yeah, we know you can surf. Who the fuck are you trying to prove that to? Well, myself, I suppose. Well, yeah, but if you're just suffering, why don't you just get out? Because then there's that nagging mind that says, oh, can I still surf? And can, you know deep down you can. So why? And then I got into this really funny rhythm. I'm not surfing very well. Really, really tired. I got fucked up loads. The worst hold down of my winter so far. I like to get a couple of these in the belt though, under the belt though, because I sort of I need to know that some of the training that I do is paying off in terms of mind, mainly staying calm in the heat at the moment. And I got it wasn't even wiping out a wave. The waves were so gnarly. It was a duck dive, and my board just got whipped out of my hands. That happens. It's fine. I then span, which again happens, but then got span and pushed down out the back to the bottom. I felt the sand, and that's like another 10 feet down. I was like, this is quite okay, cool. And I got held a bit, and then span, and whoo, and it's really brown our water, so you can't see anything. Got up just as another wave was coming.
Yeah.
So that was a bit sketchy, because in Maui, a two-wave hold down is like 40 seconds because the wave period is so...
Yeah.
A two-wave hold down in Sydney is not as gnarly because we get these six-second short periods as well. So it would have been about a 12, 13 second. But that felt like forever. Finally got up, right? Collect yourself. You're fine. You could have gone another... You could have done... Fair but not. It's fine. Get your way back up. Here we go. Let's go again. Yada, yada. Went home with my tail between my legs. I probably have four waves in an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. Seeing my mate Rory, who listens to the show, arguably a professional level surfer in terms of quality. If Ombi were looking at his footage, they'd go, yeah, okay, we can put him in competitions. I think Rory kind of knows that. He doesn't like contests himself. He's very much a free surfer, but quality surfer. Check out his Instagram handle one day if you want. Great local guy, Rory Morgan.
Another man of the sea. That's what man of the sea. That's what Morgan means.
There you go. My God, I didn't even know. There you go, man of the sea. Of course, because you mentioned it. So, and he, quite normally, being Rory, was doing Rory things and getting one wave every few minutes, doing little air reverses, cut back, and he just makes it look far too easy. Yeah. So my mind goes way into, why the fuck am I not doing it? I've put in about 17 years into this. Mm-hmm. What a fucking kook. Anyway, the next day we had nothing predicted, did we? Next morning, sun's shining, the rain has stopped, really ferocious wind, and we're thinking, fine, might be a tickle, who knows. Got down there with the big Baron, which is my go-to, what I call my confidence ball. We're going to discuss that in a bit. And I had a very, very, very special hour. And the footage will never do it justice. Why bother? I was getting little head dip barrels, sometimes barrels, actual barrels. A couple of them closed out. One of my made. Only a second in and out of the tube, but that's enough.
All counts. Head dips count.
Head dips count. I got covered up. It was just, and then if it wasn't getting covered up, I could race the next section with this barrel in front of me and just do a massive turn. So I surfed as well as I could surf. I felt as confident as I could feel. My board was working. The waves were unreal. There was no one in. Sun was shining. And it was a dream. I couldn't have been anywhere on the planet with a better mind body experience than that. We then went back. I went then back in that. I very rarely do a double in winter. This had double written all over it. My clients had cancelled. Right, I had one client. I saw the client as soon as I'd finished. Wetsuit back on. Cold wetsuit. Get in. Go. Liam, you're meeting me there. Boom, here we go. And we had an epic second. It was an unbelievable second one again. It was amazing. And the lesson over and over in life, in surfing, is when you've gone through that struggle, the next part after that is an uprising.
It's a bit like the
how
old,
it works.
It's always darkest before dawn 100% message.
100% it's darkest before dawn.
And it's a lesson that
it's, true.
It's not all good, 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 is it? It's some days, no matter who you are, what level you're at, some days you'll rip, relatively, and some days you'll absolutely bomb. That's life. That happens to everybody, whether you're Kelly Slater or whether you're just starting out surfing for the first time ever. There'll be times when you'll go, ugh. There'll be less times at starting out, by the way, because it's just, like we say, surf school happy. It's all steep, great fun. When you get into that bit of like competency, but not quite mastery, that's sticky. That's the sticky. That's where most, like a lot of us sit in this bit where we can do stuff, but we can't do everything. But even when you get to like top levels, the guys that we like Parco and Machado that we were saying about earlier, some days they'll just have a shocker. That's just how it is. But the always the I find there's a pattern, isn't there, where you go shit day and then suddenly the next day after that, or it works in reverse, but usually it's like
it's shit usually day, shit first
and then you have this mega one.
It's how it works.
Yeah,
you can often look at a day trip like that.
Yeah,
the morning surf on a day trip, sticky.
Yeah,
second one, it's just.
But it wasn't all
the
time.
Pattern.
That.
It's just the pattern. It's pattern.
That was.
It's an amazing surf. But you surfed as well as I've seen you surf for a long, long time, and the waves helped. It did. It was up there as one of our sort of top 5 days of the year in our hometown, no doubt. But even still, you were compressing and extending, and flowing in and out of the good sections of the wave and bringing the board back to the power source. Well.
Yeah, it felt good.
Better than you have in. I can't recall you surfing that well like that for a long while.
No,
that wave suited you so well, and it's the Mick.
Yeah,
you're on your Mick Fanny, your go-to, your confidence board.
But everything worked. Fins, shape.
Yeah, because here's what's timing as well. You were back on the keels because I'd nicked back off you.
You've stolen the
Christiansens, which have almost cut your leg in half.
The lethal ones. It's probably a good time to get rid of those.
And so the timing.
Yeah.
Of that was really cool because you're on this is a split keel, quad, which can be an incredible fin option
on that shape board
for fast down the line waves,
fat bottom boards as well. Yep. And it did just that board is going back to the pocket so much, although it shouldn't really because it's just the rails are like fat ass. But no, the wave shape was amazing. Taking the level I'm at as well, and this is good for people listening about like improvements, is my positioning on those waves is not all the time because I still make mistakes, but is so much better than it was just by things like ombi and practice and sitting in the top third of the wave, as they would call it, and the speed
taking off not on the shoulder but by the pocket,
and then the generation of speed on that, and then whipping back to the pocket. But like you say, well, the wave was a powerful, decent wave. Finally,
it was a good wave. And they were running at a good speed. The waves had power, key. They were clean, nice.
Yeah.
And they were running at a nice speed.
Yes.
They weren't too fast, weren't too slow.
Yeah.
You also look at it this way as well with that aspect of your ability that day. And mine was similar. And this is why I want to talk about boards and mind and confidence. We were taking off, both of us. This is why I knew I was surfing my best, taking off late.
Yeah.
Late. Paddle, 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 paddle. Where's the rush? Clayton has discussed this a number of times.
Don't panic.
We're using Ombi almost every week in our show now. And we've teamed up with Ombi with that podcast. It's worth listening to. We loved chatting with Luke from there. Just love what they do. But Clayton has this thing about paddle.
Yeah.
And paddling in, just in control, like calmly. You can use power. You really be powerful. Mm. Rip in.
Mm.
Get near the pocket. Stay by the pocket. Don't go to the shoulder. Take off later.
Yeah.
Just a little bit later. Let the board really sink in. Let it fall. You've got to be a bit more brave and a bit more skilled. Take off right at that last moment and then you are now surfing the wave.
Yeah.
If you take off early on a wave and your first parts of that surfing are flat and the board's moving slowly, it's tricky.
Always,
because you're not on rail. No. You're not on the tail pad. You're a bit further forward on your surfboard. You're not ready to really push off back foot and get rail on board. So the later you take off, the more likely you are able to land with your foot at the very back of the board, with your body more bent and compressed, ready to explode and go. But you don't want to be taking off too early and just sort of trickling in. And you don't want to also take off on the shoulder. You want to take off really quite late, late as you can, as your skill will let you, by the actual power source.
Mm-hmm.
Such a skill. Mm. And I saw you doing that day. The waves allow for it. But with boards, this is what's so important in this conversation. Because I had ridden a board that's quite a high performance board for where we live the previous day and struggled. I'd gone back to my mid-length, not even my one I'm trying to sell, but my real high confidence mid-length, which is a flat rockered, thinned out tailed, well-designed mid, beautiful pin tail with a set of 20s, no funny channels. It's just a pure mid. And the confidence on it.
Yeah.
I just felt like I could get to any part of the wave I wanted. Yes, with a mid-length style. And yes, I know with yours, with a foamy Fat Tail style, yes. But it's one of those real quests we're all on in our surfing journey is Quiver, because, geez, the Borken effect. Well, we so much.
It's everything, isn't it? We were talking about having a comfort board almost. Yeah. A confidence board.
Confidence board.
If you've got a few boards, and sometimes that can just be one thing, but have a board that you can go back to, especially if you had a crap surf, right? And just go and get back on and feel the wave again and ride the wave. And we probably, when all of that comes together and combines with good wave relative to what you're looking for, boards under your feet feels good, conditions feel right, energy's good then, flow is in the right, flow is always in the right place, but you're feeling flow rather than anything on either side of it. All of that dials into a great session. It takes a bit of time to get into. There was a bit, for half an hour of that sesh, it wasn't quite, for me, the conditions weren't lining up, and then there was a couple of waves that started to sort of really take that shape, plus everything you said there, Will, position on the wave, fins on the board, coming back to the power, riding that sort of higher line, and then you're just like, oh, now, and then the wave after that, and it's confidence building, isn't it? The first one is key, then the second and the third, and by the fourth wave, when I got out, I was buzzing. And you know what, we are now end of Feb, early March, and it's I'd had a very slow start to surfs at the beginning of the year with all the chaos at work, and now I'm back in the water. When it's here, it's just epic. And that,
so good,
that sort of absence and not surfing for a while makes each one of those sessions even more valuable, and it lives in the memory in a good way for so long. So yeah, that was epic. That was
truly epic.
We call it here, don't we, millionaire surfing.
Millionaire surfing. Well, it was only two or three of us out.
Yeah.
Waves were 3 to 4 feet.
Yeah.
Powerful, clean, ideal.
Perfect. What else do you need in life when you're in that situation?
It's such a good feeling. And it's one of those ones where, just going back to boards for a second, I want to make this clear if you're listening to this, that it's a really basic formula as a surfer. You've got to be on enough foam to catch waves and get wave count and get speed up and running. But you need to not be on too much foam that you can then turn it. That is the quest. So just keep that in mind. And it's a really, really simple formula. Let's work that out. Right, it's just enough foam, but not too much that you can't turn. I had a board that I got rid of last week. That was fun for a bit. It was cool. It gave me some really fun little surfs in really junky ways, like tiny little waves. But as soon as the waves got even to like chest height, even for our hometown, which is a real burgery wave, yeah, the board felt weird. Couldn't turn it. Got rid. So that's a journey in itself. You just got to keep trying to figure that stuff out. And that's what is awesome about the secondhand board market that we live in today. And it's just rife. Good God. I'd love to see the stats on secondhand surfboard sale and purchase over the last 10 years. It is skyrocketed.
Yeah.
So I'll be the idiot that buys new ones.
I was going to say.
And then everyone else can pick up the second hand.
Thanks to all the gullible people who are buying brand new surfboards.
Because I'm already debating selling my retro tripper.
No, somebody's got to buy them.
Yeah.
Keep the wheels of surf commerce very nicely oiled.
Very much.
For us cheap buggers down the...
The second hand chain.
Second hand crew.
Indeed. But no, it's a tricky balance. But what I would, and what I want to add to that lastly on this bit, is that I would always encourage people to be on the side of too much than too little. You're going to go one way or the other. Yeah. Go on the side of, it's a lot of foam.
Well,
rather than too little.
Yeah. And
always.
I don't know what, referencing Clay, because he rings in my ears every time I say something where I think, he's going to go, that's rubbish. Is the more time you spend up riding, as well, I think that's just great. You know, can you paddle, pop, catch a wave? That's a really good like muscle memory thing to get going on. So for me, to be on something that allows you to get on your feet more, because that's when you're surfing, right? Let's be honest, you're up and you're riding, and then you're surfing. And so if you've got enough to give you the confidence to do that, or enables you to do that, not super easily, but that makes it easy enough to do that more often than not. Then you practice, the amount of times you're practicing being up and riding.
Literally just goes through the loop. Truly. And even if you're doing quite down the line maneuvers and doing sort of nursing turns,
yeah,
because rail is quite hard to get in the water, you're still improving a lot more than getting two or three in a session because you missed 10.
Yeah, because I've done it.
And we've all done that.
I've even done
it. Been on two little boards.
On sessions when I've taken in a board
yep.
that's not right for the competitions, and it's just very frustrating.
Yep.
Because you can't catch a wave. And if you can't catch a wave, you're not surfing.
You really aren't.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and I think let's call us this giant group of people generally in the world as average surfers.
Everyday surfers.
Exactly, Liam. Go towards too much fun. It's one of those ones where if you're then in a position where you're then able to go, God, no, that was really too much foam, and quickly switch it out for something else, then obviously that's great. But make sure it's always on the plus side so that you're at least getting waves.
Well, I was thinking while you're talking, I'm making this up and I might live to regret the words, but it's like the philosophy of like any idiot can be cold, right? And that means you've got two little layers on when you go out. Whereas if you layer up and walk out, you can always take those layers off as you go and you warm up.
Nice. And so, that's a good note. I like that.
So, you know, any idiot can have a small little baking tray, cool looking shortboard, but better to go a little bit heavy and then work your way down to that position, if that's where you want to go, right? But
exactly.
Right. It's just making sure the equipment's right for the right conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well said. Dude, I tell you what, that was such a good surf.
It's kept the flame burning.
I know.
So brightly.
Yeah.
In that kind of, in the ember, the stoke fire, if you like, yeah. is burning brightly. Yeah. Off one afternoon surf. It's wild.
I know, it is wild. It is wild. Just makes you want to get more and more and more.
That's why this is such a good sport.
When it's good, it's the best. Yeah. I even said, so we said this at the start of the show before we started recording, when it's good, it's the best. When it's bad, it's still really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, when I got out of the sea the other day after that shocker,
yeah,
I'd had an hour and 40 minute hard swim in cold sea.
Yeah.
Negative ions, salt everywhere, fresh air, oxygen, exercise. I wasn't sat on the sofa twiddling my thumbs.
It gives you something to think. Surrounded by, gives you something to think about.
EMF, you know. So even if it's a bad one, it's still going to be really good.
Yeah. It's better than, you can make a list of things it's better than. And it's way usually better. Higher than even good stuff.
Way.
But it's certainly better than watching shit on the TV.
Definitely.
It's better than consuming fear-inducing news on any channel. Better than doom scrolling on your phone. It's better than looking at and thinking, because this is, we all fall into this trap as well, right? Looking at the conditions. I've done this so many. I keep looking at the cams. Shall I get in? Just get in.
Just get the fuck in. No, Liam, I have this all the time because people see me surf really sort of limited conditions, we'll call it sometimes, for what you can achieve, you know, in terms of like turns. I just want to be in there.
Yeah.
I just want to be in there to be surrounded by the purity of the energy of the ocean.
Yep.
Tick the box. Surfers get so hung up on, oh, but it's not. Well, it's not. It's like, well, what is it? Where is your mind at?
I almost am at this point where I think the only thing that should stop you getting in is the safety aspect.
Yeah, if it goes the other way,
that's,
I know.
That's
I know.
The only decision.
No.
So you know when you stand and have a look and think, what are the conditions like? I'm not getting in. It's more because it's, for example, outside of your ability level.
Totally.
Or it's dangerous, high type, your shore breaker, whatever it might be. But not, it's a bit sloppy. It's a bit of a a foot smaller than I would like.
No. No, I can.
You know,
it's got a bit of sibin on it now. I'm not going in.
You know, looking at it really intently. Nah, it was better an hour ago. I think I'll just leave it.
And I've always had that. And this would be an age old thing that I have with like a lot of friends, even as well.
Same.
Surfers in general is I've already gone in while they're all deliberating it.
Yeah, but
just get your suit on, get in.
There is one person who does it more than us. Can we just give him a shout out?
Go on.
Johnny, if you're listening, he does listen.
Johnny really will get in when I even start to. If I start to question stuff, that's saying, I mean, I'll go in a foot to two. If it looks like I might just get a little nose ride or a little. Johnny, a foot. He really will sink to a foot.
He makes me look like a miserable surfer. on the condition front.
He makes me look exactly the same. He will go in on a foot.
He makes me look as if I'm on the seafront, arms folded, just like shaking my head. It's not good. Yeah. So fair play, way. Johnny. He is the...
I know. Rip, the, we can't get him on the show one
yeah,
day.
Yeah, he's such a good lad.
He's a great lad. Yeah. Guys, thanks for listening to our wonderful intro. We're going to go on to segment number two, bit of mindfulness. So take a breath in through the nose. And breathe out nice and slowly. Take another breath in through your nose. And breathe out slowly. Another breath in through your nose. And breathe out slowly. And take one last deep breath in through your nose. Really feel that air going in. And breathe out as slowly as you can. Let your body relax and be present while you're breathing out. The Latin word for breath is espiritus. Espiritus, meaning spirit. So there's a suggestion that to be breathing well is to be in spirit, and to be in spirit is to be breathing well. I can't feel really separate from other humans or anything else when I'm breathing well. I can't be so heavily in my ego when I'm breathing well. Tail between my legs coming out of the sea the other day, starting to really, oh, and I'm looking at this board and I've spent all this fucking money on it. And it's all this separation starting to unfold. What was my breathing like? Fucking shit. That's how it was. I can guarantee it was, because I can guarantee that every single moment in my whole 39 years, if I've ever not been how I want to feel, how's your breathing right then? Mm-hmm. Right in that moment, how is it? Not good. And because here's what's fascinating. Then people would then go, so is it a panacea? Is it just going to fix it? No, of course not. You will feel better if you breathe better though, even when you're really stressed. So you really stressed, okay, now be in that stress state with all the anxiety and the thoughts of what if and whatever's going on. Now just start doing the breathing. Whilst it all is all going on, just do it. To start doing, okay, cool, right. There are the thoughts, yeah, cool. Firstly, you become a bit more aware of the moment. So what you've done then in that moment is align yourself to what's real. There's no such thing as a future, because that's often what mind is doing. It's trying to flip us out off into future or relive past sort of stress and whatever. So both non-truthful places don't exist. So it really is fascinating that we stress ourselves out. Life is not stressful. We make it stressful. That's how it works. Full stop. Aside from literally someone's thrown like a black mamba in your lap.
But that's
or someone's come up to you with a knife and that. Like, obviously.
Which is what
there are some situations.
Which is what the real stress response
is. It's a real stress response. And that's valid. A huge wave is coming your way and you've kind of got yourself into the wrong place in the okay. There are certain situations, whatever, but even then, fascinatingly, if you're breathing better. Your physiology, your spirit, your mindfulness is in a better state to deal with it.
Which is entirely, this is where I get to my philosophical side of all this, which is, you know, why surfing particularly is also very good for your parasympathetic nervous system and all of that kind of balance between kind of slow and go, that kind of vibe.
That's what makes it a very unique sport.
Because you can...
the balance of both.
Yeah, you're sort of just stimulating both things.
That's right.
And, but... this kind of the world that we kind of exist in, everything is designed to interrupt the flow of your breathing in a way, right? So insofar as, you know, you keep people frightened, your breathing's definitely off kilter because a frightened breath is different. It goes shallower and it's higher up and all of that sort of thing. And so all of that is removing people from that deep satisfaction of sitting and realizing that there is no immediate threat to self. And that's what that's our stress responses, animals, isn't it? We're like, am I in danger? It's why dogs are chilled out all the time, unless something's going to bite or kick them or whatever, you know, in that immediate moment. And so, but we remain in this, we being the humans, remain in this, if we allow ourselves through mind and through influence sometimes that other things, even things that aren't real, have on our mind, we elevate our stress response, which takes us away from deep, therapeutic breathing. And as soon as we're out of that, we're in this chronic state of just cortisol all the time, aren't we? You know, stressy. And that is a very, very unhealthy state to exist in for any period of time other than the immediate fight or flight response.
Other than just that. Yeah, I agree.
But most of us, because of our current like work, because of this sort of world, exist in this highest heightened state of shallow breathing or nervous energy or whatever it is. And it, to your point about the spirit and what breath is, it removes you a little bit.
Fuck yeah.
From your spirit.
And what's amazing, Liam, is that when I work with clients on this and they say, oh, I haven't got time to take myself away for 10, 15 minutes mindfulness, yoga, breathing, stretching, maybe in the morning, in the day, in the evening, and trying to have that kind of routine, which I do recommend every day, people do, and so on. Then I ever say that you do, that's obviously not the case. That's not what I'm saying. It's just very interesting because a bit like saying, no, I haven't got time to go surfing, or, you know, it's about what you prioritize. Now, again, sometimes you really do have to prioritize other things. That's fine. That happens in life. What I find also very interesting around that in my career, what I've witnessed is that person might have said that they didn't have the time in December 2021 or whatever, and then after X amount of months of doing certain types of work on themselves, have the same schedule, and they say, yeah, no, I do have the time. And because what's really interesting with that is, it's Plato's rule of 80-20. 20% of what you actually get done in a day, if it's quality, will yield you your 80%. So why are we spending this 80% doing meaningless shit, which is mainly procrastinating? Well, because the reason why is because we're not aligned in heart and mind. So Joe Dispenza talks about this. When your mind and heart are aligned, you immediately let go of tons of people pleasing. It just goes. It just goes poof. Because you know the only person you can please truly is yourself. You have to do that first. So when all the people pleasing just disappears and all the extra chores and all the... God, I've got loads of time for this. And your work quality just skyrockets. Because when you do go to then do a little bit, it's immense. It's great quality.
Wow.
So then there's that going on too. And it's very interesting with people's lives. I find it all so interesting. Self-care is a fascinating topic in itself as surfers. We know, let's relate it back to surfing. The better we take care of ourselves, the better we'll surf. That's a given. Of course it is. Your reflection of your surfing ability. Like when you surfed that surf the other day, you surfed really well. Well, what have you been doing recently to take better care? You've been doing tons more legs, which we're going to discuss later in Mind, Body, Stoke. Whatever it may be. But I know you wanted to say, I was rattling off down that rabbit hole of Plato's rule. 20%, 80%.
No, it's true, because I've been there myself. And look, we recognize a lot of people listening here and in America's second biggest audience, creeping up on the Brits now, the listeners. So hello to our American friends.
American tour, here we go.
But I've done it myself as a busy, in inverted commas, exec, work person, business, whatever you want to call it. Whatever label you want to put on whatever label you want to put on this egoic pursuit of, you know, and obviously it's modern hunting. You go out, you club the dinosaur and feed the family, right? That's what we're trying to do when we go to work. But there are many times, because of the nature of work that we end up doing in this modern world, where we have way more time than you let on. The busy syndrome is sometimes a real excuse for two things: to forgive yourself for not looking after yourself properly, because I can't have too busy. But if you don't put your own oxygen mask on first, and you can't help anybody else anyway. 100%. And we've almost got this inverted world where a lot of people running around trying to fix everything else before they've even looked in the mirror and fixed themselves. And so the beginning of that process is creating, or not even creating, allowing yourself the time within whatever 24-hour period that to do things that are going to enrich your soul. And that's not a fast, easy dopamine release of instant gratification as well, by the way, because that's the other trap we fall into in this world. Everything's at the click of a button, a quick little hit of dopamine.
Yeah.
And we need to, it's never very satisfying if it's too easy. And so we go from this, I haven't got enough time, to hitting the button of easy dopamine release. And then you're in a really fucked up cycle then.
It's why it takes a really disciplined, very aware mind, kind of person that listens to a show like this, dare we say, who realizes it's less is more and it's about accuracy. It's about precision and quality.
Yeah.
And alertness and then let go once you're tired.
Start
reset,
with
the... recover. But we just don't do it. And like you said, when we go to recover,
yeah,
bit of time to just relax, and we like go for the dopamine insta spike, which, by the way, is really natural, really normal, and also in some ways healthy. Like if you get the dose right, like it's fun to, like my one is YouTube in the evenings.
Yeah.
I do these YouTube shorts. Yeah. Flick, 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 flick. It is fun. I do like it. I get a nice little hit of dopamine. I do get the dopamine spike. What's really interesting is I always go, and this is always, and I can say this honestly, hand on heart, I always go 15 flicks too far. 10. Yeah. Every time. That is the power of dopamine. You go again. I've had my hit of laughter. I've giggled. The lady, she's 80. She's fallen over on the ice. And she's, you know, it's like, it's funny. I love that slapstick. Yeah. They do so many little slapstick videos of people's home video clips. Or then Joe Rogan's give me a little speech about something. Yeah. Then there's a rugby player who's done a really nice sidestep. Yeah. And then, okay, so I'm getting my hit. I'm getting all the things I'm interested in. Da-da-da-da. I'm done. But no. The unconscious side of me is like, no, I can have more. Yeah. What about a little bit more? A little bit. And this relates back to surfboards. It's very similar. As surfers, we become dopamine addicts. We've got to be very, very, very happy to laugh at ourselves about that.
Well,
too.
This is the point, right?
And so, note that it doesn't actually yield happiness.
No, it doesn't. And if you're listening to this show, you're aware of it. And we are aware of it. But it doesn't mean you're doing it well all the time.
No.
Because we fall into habits.
No.
And you're absolutely right. It's that constant chasing of stuff, which is why surfing is forced delayed gratification if you do it right. So yeah, of course, there's the chasing, the surf footage, the social media, the boards, the kit, the da-da-da-da-da. That's part of the process for a lot of people. But if you are trying to surf, because it requires so much effort, we were talking about this before the show, you are forced into the old loop of delayed gratification before. It's a bit like the hunt before the feast. You have to go through effort to get the reward. And that, in a way, is the magic formula of making that reward even more rewarding. And because it then, you have to repeat, rinse and repeat, and there's a scarcity angle in there, suddenly it is, again, it's like a hack, a cheat code. You're putting your body and your brain through delayed gratification to reward, delayed gratification to dopamine release, and then you've got to have an enforced break. You can't just keep chasing it because your body will get tired and the conditions will disappear.
In essence, your entire evolution as a hunter was built on this, what you're saying.
Yeah.
Recovery is not chasing the dopamine. Dopamine gives you more speed, more alertness. With adrenaline, couple it with norepinephrine.
Yeah.
All these endorphins, you are that exceptional hunter. You can also fight and protect yourself, your family, whatever.
Yeah.
The recovery is, we can't always have that because you got to rest.
Well, I read
you just fought a saber-toothed tiger yesterday.
Yeah.
You're covered in cuts. You had a great time. That tiger was a beast and you were scared, but good God, you murdered it in the end. And I say murdered. That's a strange word to use, but you know what I mean. You
survived,
and the high after was immense, and the stories you told around the campfire. Well, are you going to get that again? No,
that's what makes
you go
us human.
Again. It's too soon. So as humans, recovery is everything.
Well,
you've got to go without again.
I wish I could remember the exact kind of etymology of all of this. Right. So, but comfort. This idea of rest and being comfortable was, I think, from like the Greeks to say it is a time to re-strengthen.
Mm.
So lazing around and having downtime was just a kind of preparation and a way of strengthening yourself again for the next battle.
Yep.
It wasn't a permanent sit on the sofa and eat Doritos and watch, you know, TV.
Yep.
It was basically... You go into a period of comfort because it allows you to fort being strengthened. You are literally resting to fortify. And if you do that, you're ready to go again. But if you do it continuously with no go again, you're also in this kind of restless, irritable spiral. You need to kind of exercise that. And so, you know, we just, as society and our ways of life, don't allow that cycle really.
No, we really don't. We've got to also be kind to ourselves too, because I think we are human. We're in our own stage in consciousness, all just doing our best. But that best can always get better.
Yeah.
Within yourself, no comparison, but just get better within yourself and see how you can explore being and becoming a happier human around your surf, around everything you buy around it, everything you consume in terms of material as well as social media content, aspects, as well as foods that are a bit more off script or overeating to a degree. Whatever it is when it's the consumption of, go without to and find your way of developing a delayed, like you said, gratification. It's essential for overall happiness because it's the balance. It's like fasting. Fasting itself is a perfect example of that. If you just ate, if you gave in, I'm a bit peckish. If you give in. Yeah, sure. Well, fine. But if you didn't, you rode it and carried on. When you eat dinner, what's that dinner going to taste like?
Exactly.
It'll feel like 500,000 years ago, you're out in the wild, you did hunt all day, you finally sat down by the campfire. It's enriching. What's also so interesting, delayed gratification, Liam, is if you can flip it on its head and look at it from another way, from one way it's like, oh, I'm going to have to go without. The other way of looking at it is now I've got X amount of time to invest in even better recovery. So get on the yoga mat. While you were going to do your eating at lunch or breakfast or whatever, or while you were going to do your reading of your thing on your phone or watching video, or I don't know, whatever you're going to distract yourself.
Yep.
Now, meditate.
100%.
And do yoga. And good God, the difference. If you invest that time like that more wisely. Now we're getting onto like, is that like trying to perfect your lifestyle like that? Well, no, but it's certainly making it a happier one.
Yeah, because that's...
And calmer. And then that'll reflect in the ocean. I know that when I've been taking better care of myself, I always surf better.
Well, you surf better, and then you come, and again, this I always obviously we're doing a surf podcast, Will. So I have to relate.
By the way,
back.
This has been Mind, Body, and Stoke. Yeah,
Mind, Body,
We've drifted because the topic is so relevant to now what we're talking about.
But it is,
we will make this segment three.
It is body because it's about being tired. So
yep.
Here's the thing: when you pull it all the way back to surfing, requires effort to access those bits of flow that you get to because you've got to paddle out. You've got to paddle for the wave. You've got to stand up on the wave. It's tiring on all levels, body and mind to an extent, because you're sort of dialing in lots of different things. And then here's the thing. When you then go to rest in the evening, so let's say you're on a surf trip, as we were talking about at the beginning. Everybody, you sit around a fire in the evening. Everybody's been surfing all day. They've had outside air, negative ions, vitamin D. They've had delayed gratification. They've had to put effort in. They're physically tired. That's a great thing. You tire your body out, your mind is always in a better place if it's been rewarding, tiring physical exertion. And then you sit and you do that human thing of being in this kind of blissful state of slight fatigue from exercise, sun-kissed, and then human connection of sitting around telling stories and having a good time.
The best.
So there is, we're tapping into some sort of deep ancestral kind of being in a way. Rather than doing, and that's a reward in itself.
So good, dude. So fucking good, mate. Wow, that was Mind, Body, Stoke.
Hippie.
How to do Mind, Body, Stoke? Hippie. Segment number four. Surf media. I'll relate that back to what I was going to mention more specifically in Mind, Body, Stoke, because I've been watching Ben Greenfield videos and watching also lots of other videos about something called BPC-157, which is a peptide. Now, you can get some nerd and biohacking geek or biologist tell you more about what a peptide is. Don't need me to do that because I'm definitely not that guy.
And it's not something about the sea going in and out. Is it a knee, a spring, or a peptide?
Oh, hey!
Here all day for the jokes.
Hey! I was going to go down the Pep Guardiola. No, I can't. Basically, peptides are found in collagen. And they're chains of amino acids, which have specific roles that they play in the body, basically. Whether they're already found in the body or whether you consume them in food. So you can extract individual peptides out of those strings of peptides and utilize them for specific benefits. This one, BPC, Dash 157 is gaining notoriety for its success in helping heal niggles, tendonitis, muscular injuries, even impact injuries, even speed up recovery from an from a sudden sprain or breaking bone or whatever's happened, or you've just had a surgery, stitches, or essentially it speeds up healing. The exact science of why, do your own reading. Just do some Googling, do some YouTube watching videos. There's plenty of doctors out there who are far more knowledgeable than I am. One who I love, and we've talked about it many times, is Andrew Huberman. Dr. Andrew Huberman is a neuroscientist. He's very good at discussing peptides and their benefits. I have some arriving today. Quite expensive. But I'm going to do a 2 to 4 week. Apparently it takes 4 weeks from what I've been reading. Doing lots of reading on this. 4 weeks to really gain the benefit of peptides, in particular this one, for my ankle and my knee. My ankle and my knee, depending on how much I've surfed, if I do a normal surfing week, which for me is about 3-ish times, sometimes 4 times, throughout that week, I'll carry, I suppose, a 1/2/3 out of 10 in terms of niggle on my knee and my ankle. Just residual. It's just there. I'm so good at managing it. I just know what to do. I know not to run around too much. I can't really play tennis. Golf's a bit tricky nowadays. As long as I can just surf and walk, lift weights, da-da-da, all good. But I want to be able to run around with my boy. I really do. He's getting into football. I still can't. It just niggles. It hurts. It inflames it. I'd like to be able to push my surfing a bit better too, just even take it even further, get deeper into the barrel. Like when I squat, I seem to just suffer on that a little bit still with my ankle. I will report back basically.
Yeah, I'm keen
how it
to
goes because I also have BPC in needle foot. I'm going to be potentially doing it with injections too, but I think I'll stick with just these tablets first, these capsules. And then if you want, I can give links. If it does work, I can give links to the website that I got these from, which is a really trusted source, which I won't discuss just yet. Which we'll come back to. So it's very interesting. Do some reading. If you have any niggles whatsoever and you're wanting to surf for longer, be able to remain more pain-free, be able to enjoy your surfing more, start looking into peptides for recovery. Because I know you've got your shoulder thing, your collarbone.
My SC joint.
So it could be amazing.
I'm really
that.
Keen to see it how
could
it
be
goes
amazing for that. So it's been it's suddenly booming, the information. Because we're in this information age, aren't we? Podcasts, videos, blogs, people talking. Yeah. Ben Greenfield, who's really the person first got me onto it. I listened to a whole podcast with him discussing with someone on peptides. It's very, very interesting. And so, it takes a bit of... the only thing at the moment with peptides is that they can't be marketed as supplements. So finding them from the right place is the really hard part because they can only be sold as research. These are research ingredients or something. It's a bizarre.
Well, if you grow like a third bollock or something, I'll keep an eye on that. But no, I'm intrigued to see where it goes.
So we'll wait and see. But I'll report back.
Guinea pig.
So that's my surf media. Was just Ben Greenfield. To check him out, Ben Greenfield podcast.
Not to be confused with Ben Gravy, who's usually our other surf media.
To be confused. We've got a lot of Ben G people. Ben.
Yes.
No.
All right.
Anything, dude? Surf media?
No, I mean, I've been just not consuming so much recently. You know, I'm reading books. So, I finished the one about Bradshaw and Fu. I'm dipping into a few other bits and pieces. Like, I'm back in with our good friend Eckhart Tolle and The Power of Now, and that's going really well. I'm about to start picking into Lao Tzu and that kind of, you know, the way. So, very, very, very kind of in and out of different books, but I'm sort of consuming bits of Torren Martin as usual if I do dip into it, and or Ben Gravy. But other than that, I need something. So any recommendations that listeners have about surf films, footage, media, or books to read, please send them in.
We'd love that.
Yeah,
we do need it, guys. Thanks for having us.
Always a pleasure. See you soon.
Bye.